Welcome to Course in Miracles.
Thank you.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
So, I think everybody, at the very least, hopes there's a God or something, you know, and we talked about this nicely for our resident atheist. God, and by all means, Course in Miracles does not peg God as a being.
No.
Right? Mm-hmm. Uh-uh. Wrong book. It uses the word Father only as a convenience.
Symbol.
As a symbol. It's a way to communicate with separated minds. To move your mind up towards Source. Uses that word too. So I think we all, at the very least, hope that there is an energy, a good, something that's invisible, something that's definitely not trapped here with you. Can we describe it that way? This and the Course also uses this phrase, something else. Just to get your mind off the world, off the ball that requires gravity and oxygen and so God. I think all of us here at least hope that there is this good power, this got it going on, not afraid like me, not running from anything, power. But here's the other question we need to look at tonight. What about
the other side of the coin?
Is there evil? Is there evil? I think we all really here are banking on the good. Good. We even describe God as just, you know, good. You just take out one of the O's if you want to call it God, but it's really the same thing. Add an O to your concept of God if you don't like it, and just go with good. Go with that. How far can you go with that? And I think this is what we're talking about for God. That's all. It's just an idea.
Good orderly direction.
Yeah. Good orderly direction. So I think we're all banking on that one. What about evil? What about evil? So let's just take a few minutes, okay? Let's work this over in a meditation. And let's find out where your mind is on this idea of evil. It's not because you need to know or need to tell us, you know. It's not that. This is for your own benefit, and I think we'll probably benefit too with whatever you have to say. But do yourself a favor during this meditation and talk to yourself. Say, hey, self, I'm checking in. I'm just doing a little audit here. What do you think evil is, and do you think it's real? That's what we're going to go through in this meditation. Each time we do this, it is a gift to you. It's likely going to be a great gift to the rest of us, okay? But for sure it's a gift to you to check in and see where your mind is on any of these terms that we use. This one could be a bit of a zinger. Let's take a look at it. If Carol didn't turn the light off, it would not be evil. What is evil? Check it in. Check it out. Get honest with yourself. Do yourself a favor. and just get honest with what's going on in your mind. When I say the word evil, what happens in your body when I ask you, and I'm asking you, is evil real? There's lots of beautiful pictures of good and goodness. There's the promise of a loving God, a beautiful nature. And then there's the other side. There's the destruction. There's the unfairness. There's the inhumanity that's so hungry for personal destruction, for personal gain. Sometimes it happens inside your own mind, destruction, particular. The opposite of healing. The opposite of hope. The opposite of support. Sometimes it happens in your own life and nobody else knows about it. Is that evil? What's that power that would destroy? You don't have to tell it everybody or tell anybody. Not tonight or ever, if you don't want. But do yourself a favor in these next few moments. Do yourself a favor and open your mind. Let yourself see what you believe. If there is evil, where is it? Where does it seem to be when somebody comes into your space and your face without being invited? Did you do that? Or are you truly innocent? And a victim to the evil? What does it mean? What does that word mean? Take the next moment or two to just pick a word or a phrase. I know there's many, but just pick one. For what? How would you know it's evil? How would you say it was evil? Or if somebody else says evil and you don't believe in evil, what do you think they're trying to say? What are they trying to say when they say, that's so evil? What are they trying to say? You know, A Course in Miracles, most of its teaching works with the opposite of what it's trying to, what it hopes you get. Most of A Course in Miracles works with the ego and the problems of the ego. So you can let them go because its purpose is to remove the blocks, the awareness of love's presence. It says, I don't have to teach you, I have to fix love, I have to find love. You don't have to find love, get love, earn love. According to A Course in Miracles, that is. See, that's the only thing that is love. So don't worry about trying to do that. Rather, remove the blinders. You get your hands in front of your face. It's so dark in here. A Course in Miracles is removing the blocks to the awareness. That's why we need to discuss evil. Is it interesting that evil spelled backwards is live?
What?
Evil spelled backwards is live. That's what came to me. I was like, oh. It's cute, isn't it? It's really true.
It's a little cute.
Yeah, it's a little cute. There's a truth in there, too.
That's spelled backwards dog, which is why you love it.
Hey! I like the way you think.
Huh.
It really is important, you know. It's a lot more fun to talk about love and light and forgiveness and happiness. It really is. But I'm telling you, the thing that you fall over in the middle of the night, that's what you should move out of the hallway. And this is one of the things we fall over in this world. No doubt. David, what makes something evil? What's evil?
Start judging it. It's just a word. It's an illusion.
It's an illusion?
Yeah, it's pretty much illusion, but it's real in our world. I mean, we have a world out here that has, in a dream of the planet, there's evil.
Yeah.
Always fighting evil, all the time. This evil or that evil, it's all over the place. I mean, there was a time when they, you know, I really believed in evil.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Why do you fight it? What do you mean fight? Why would you fight evil?
You know, now there's all kinds of wars. They call everybody, you know, oh, that guy's evil, this guy's evil. We got terrorists, they're all evil. Just look at the news, they'll tell you.
Why do you fight it? Why don't you just go along with it? I mean, the fishhook's got a problem.
Yeah.
You know? Shoot. Okay? But it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
So why do you bother fighting evil?
Oh, I don't anymore, but...
Oh. Don't so anymore. It's really nothing now.
Doesn't mean nothing to me.
Uh-huh.
But it is kind of... I mean, it's an illusion. I mean, I see it out there all the time, and sometimes...
What does somebody else mean when they say evil?
Just a bad guy.
The bad guy. The bad?
Yeah.
The bad guy, even. Yeah.
That many people always say, well, these people are really evil, you know.
Yeah.
If I try to say, well, everybody's a brother. Oh, no, we got to have some bad. That's bad. He's bad. Oh, that was bad. And all of a sudden, it's that guy. Oh, no, he's okay, but that, you know what I mean? They can't make their mind up sometimes, but everybody will tell me what's bad.
Turn the light on behind you, will you? Masako, what's evil?
I don't really have a powerful relationship to that word because I wasn't born and raised in this culture, so I wasn't exposed to Western religion.
It's a Western idea.
Yeah. I remember seeing movies, you know, and it's always a fight between God.
Uh-huh.
And the devil.
Uh-huh.
So I what I made that mean was that's like the ultimate badass guy.
Yeah, okay? Badass guy.
Yeah, that is in constant war with good.
Uh-huh. And he's got puppets. God. Like God's got puppets, and those are the good guys wearing the white hats. Mm-hmm. And then the devil's got puppets, and they're evil, and they get the black hats.
Yeah.
And here's your world.
Constantly, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Claudia, what's evil?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind when you said evil was ego. Only someone in their ego could be evil.
Yes.
Really all there is love.
Yes.
And so when I see things that are happening, things happening in the world, like someone running their, you know, truck through a crowd of people.
Yeah, like that.
I think that's evil to do that.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel angry or I almost feel hatred toward that person. Then I think, okay, that's evil too.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh.
So
evil sort of transmuted through your perception. Easy to say that the guy driving the truck and plowing out a bunch of street tried to hit him. He was swerving the truck as fast as he could to hit them.
Yeah.
And you said, oh, there we go. There's a case of evil.
There's evil.
I wonder. Take that guy, rip his throat out!
Which is also evil.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, so, but it's
a little contagious.
Ego-driven. It's not real.
But it's not real. And yet that word fits a little bit to the guy swerving the truck on the sidewalk, a bunch of innocent people. Young, old, male, female, tourist, child, didn't matter.
Yeah.
Is there evil?
But he's still a precious child of God.
Did he do something evil?
Yeah.
Give the headlines in the newspaper.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that guy. Magdalene, what makes something evil?
Well, what came up for me was it's the basest form of a cry for love.
Ha.
And then it's fear, false evidence appearing real,
mm-hmm.
that it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
It's a judgment.
Mm-hmm. In order for you to see it, it's a judgment?
Or the
evil that you see?
Yeah, if I see something and my mind says it's evil,
yes.
That's a judgment.
Okay. How about this guy who's swerving the truck, pedal to the metal, trying to kill as many people as possible before he gets shot?
it's a cry for love. He's desperate. It's a desperate. It's really an illusion. It's really, it's the duality of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely an ego. It's an ego construct.
Ah, an ego construct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what does ego, you know, mean by that? What does he do with it?
It's a belief in something that the ego's job is to destroy.
Yeah.
So, you know, one could say ego is evil, but that's taking, that's judging.
Interesting, mm-hmm. isn't it? Does the ego use the word good?
It uses good the same way that it uses evil, mm-hmm. and it's that's what ego does. It's duality.
What's something good that an ego would do? Anybody? Anybody? Something good that an ego would do?
Saving a puppy.
Go save the puppies and take them to your home and raise this puppy that was ready to be euthanized down there on 7th Street. And you said, no, I will be the one who will save this puppy's life. I already took one last week, but if you're saying this week you're going to kill it, I'm taking two. I'm going to be good about it. Yeah, right? That's good. That's like different from the truck. Good and evil. Mm.
It's the chaos of the world. It's chaos.
Isn't it? Strong sense of good with that puppy.
Yeah. I mean, that's just what came into my mind.
And a strong sense of bad with the guy swerving the truck, trying to kill people. Just trying.
Or the man who beats his wife. I mean, or the mm-hmm. person who abuses a child. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
It's the chaos of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel compelled to see through that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Like,
how about seeing through the puppy?
The puppy too. It's the cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Right?
Right. Good. Good.
It's the cartoon.
Julie, what's the eagle?
This is talking in orders of difficulty or orders, but I think for me the difference between something that's, you know, bad and something that's evil is, you know, there seems to be this intentionality behind it. Like, even if the reason for the act is to maybe, like, secure something or whatever, it's like it, the intention is that I'll take everyone down with me, right? Companies do it, politicians, all sorts of things. So they might not be out to just for that, but there's an intention that I don't care if anyone else gets hurt in the process.
Yeah, General Motors, they early on in the 70s, they had a big lawsuit because they decided they had a problem with a car. I think it was brakes or something, mm-hmm. or it was a Pinto, maybe it was Ford with it. And they knew there were going to be crashes, and they knew people were going to die. Some already had died. But most of the cars won't be affected. Most people won't find themselves situation, and the car will serve really well. And to fix two or three, to prevent two or three people from dying, and bring in 100,000 or a million cars, it's not worth it. They said, you know what? We can afford the lawsuits at that level compared to retooling and bringing all the cars in. That's hundreds of millions. It'll be about maybe $2 or $3 million per death, maximum. And they made that business decision. And sure enough, several people died.
Was the Pintos?
I'm not sure it was the Pinto, was that one, or another, a Ford. I think maybe it was the Pinto, or was it the gas tank. You could see the gas tank.
Right in the back.
Yeah, and you could see it in the back. And yeah. And so obviously, in a rear-end accident, when the Pinto is lifted on the brakes and somebody else comes underneath, it's going to squish that gas right out all over everybody and everything, and the huge flames would happen.
Mm-hmm.
I forget whether it's that one or some other issue, but nonetheless, it's like that, where obviously we got a problem, but it costs less to pay for the dead people than it does for a broken, you know, for a redesign of a car and a recall. Is that evil? We're going to let those people, they don't even know them. We're going to let them die. Fathers, mothers, children, not sure what it'll be. Whoever can fit in the car, I suppose, is eligible. But we're not going to spend all this money. Make shareholders look out for it. That means you'll take a cut in pay there, Pam. You know what? We can afford the lawsuits. What happened in this world? Real.
That kind of stuff happens a lot.
Carol, what did it take for something to be evil? Does it exist? Is there such a thing as evil? You ever use that word?
No. No, I don't use the word. I've been thinking of examples of things that I think the deeds are evil.
Okay.
Not the people.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That's what I think. I think it's the absence of love. I think that.
Aha. Uh-huh. Is it an intentional deed, like Julie says?
Well, some are.
If it's not intentional, but something horrible happened, is that evil?
So no, that's a mistake.
Horrible.
Huh?
But that's a mistake, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Julie's point is, okay, you got bad, and that's a mistake, okay. That's rough, okay? But when they want to do it, and they plan on doing it again, this guy could have jumped out of that truck in Paris and hidden. He'd be back the next day with another truck. The trucks idle. They idle there. Big trucks idle as they're doing deliveries. And the driver's out, taking out the milk cartons or whatever, and they just jump in and drive them down the sidewalk. It's really easy. If that's what you want to do and kill a bunch of people with a truck in Paris or anywhere, you just jump in and go. Is that evil? Intentional, Julie says.
At the very least, a non-loving intention.
At the very least, it's not loving.
Yep.
A cry for love, Micheline says. It's not an illusion, but it is this ultimate base cry for love. Really, this person wants help. Something's so wrong in their life, they need to kill about 25 other people.
Yeah. Well, they don't have a sense of love, and so their ego's in charge, and it's all destruction.
Oh, yeah. What if they were taught, since they were very small, that the more of these people who don't serve the religion and the God that you serve, you kill, the more you're helping God, and you shall be blessed. And your parents who died before you will get favor. And when you die, you will get favor from God for helping cleanse the world of otherwise a pest. These devils that are walking around that are not true to the true God, they're just like a... What are they, like a bacteria? Fungus. Go kill them off. Who taught that guy that? Is that guy evil?
So that's interesting, because knowing this then is different there.
Talk to me.
Well, I was first thinking that from kind of piggybacking on intentionality of that it's knowing, but that's a different that's been taught. Uh-huh. And so it's not evil in their mind.
Yes, this is a very important concept, Carol.
Yeah.
In the world, one of the biggest problems the thinking person has, stay with me now, these are really strange words, but it's the quickest way I have to say it. One of the biggest problems the thinking person has in this world is that they know something that's not true. A really serious problem.
They say that again. They know something that's not true.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's all of it.
Turns out it's all of us. Busted. We are so busted. Yeah. It's a really big problem.
So that means we might all be evil.
That's right. That's well, like that. Well, that's right.
We're all evil.
Well, you look at what Julie said. She said, "Intention." What?
To some people, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
A yep. lot of
that's
people.
That's for
actually.
Sure. I know.
So all we have to do is just stop doing it.
Just stop it. Right. Yeah. Stop it.
Stop being.
Is that all it takes?
We know nothing.
Stop it. Just stop it, and then it's all good. Well, you're going to stop that truck driver. He was convinced that. Your children and your children's children and you and your all receive the love of God. If you would just do this act in the name of God and go and kill as many white people as you can. This is the best thing you can do with your body. Training these little kids. in these intense radical camps. And they come full of a, they feel like a priest because they're going to go administer love for the true God and just wipe out some of these pests. It's like when you go to your garden, everybody go to your garden, you've got some tomatoes and you got some roses. What is that nasty? Get me, get out of my, you grab it by the neck and you rip it out. And you look at your work, don't you? You look at roots and say, good. I got it. Right? And that's okay, right? It's good. You did good for the garden. You did good for the garden.
There was a song called "Don't Swat That Fly." You remember that song?
No.
It was one of
them. I hope you sing it for us.
Let's hear it.
I really want to hear this.
I can't do it justice.
Oh. So that's interesting, huh? Intentional. You weeding your garden, killing that plant as quick as you can, and looking for others like it. Oh my God! What are you doing to life?
Set bait out.
You!
Step on this.
Set out bait for that little mouse that's just hungry. With a trap! You get this big spring, and the idea is the spring goes over the back of the mouse's head and... That's what it's supposed to do. It doesn't always work that way. Oh.
And he's baiting a bucket some little brown.
That's Mike and Lean's way. Let him drown. Let him swim for a while. If they run out of, they can't swim anymore. At least they get a last meal.
I don't think there's anything wrong with them.
But then they can't breathe while they're eating the cheese, so even the last meal maybe doesn't work out so good.
Yeah.
That happens. It happens in the world all the time. I just went to La Brea Tar Pits.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
La Brea Tar Pits. You know what that is? That's a natural occurrence where a whole bunch of, you know, biomaterial, tar, literally tar, I mean, goo, black, thick goo, is coming out of the ground and it looks like water. And there is some water accumulated. And the animals would go up and go get a sip of water and they put their foot in it, would sink down and be absolutely caught in the tar. So for thousands and thousands of years, it's collected the bones of extinct animals. It's an archaeological bonanza, but it's a pretty sad show. What?
Evil tar.
Evil tar. Evil world that would make such an attractive trap. And they have this diorama of these mastodons, and you know, Daddy Mastodon has stepped in, and he's so heavy, he's sinking. He's got two paws out, but the rest of him's in. He's never coming out. He's sinking. And the baby is like going to get closer to Daddy, and Mama's on the shore saying, what's going on here? And this is what? Oh, my goodness. Huh, happens. Is that evil? Oh, come on, they're just thirsty. What's evil, Mark? What does it take to be evil?
Well, I think, you know, coming from, you know, non- religious background.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you could go down a really serious rat trap trying to label and figure out what evil is.
Mm.
But I think that if there's a force of where people aspire to goodness, and there are people who achieve certain higher levels of consciousness, and we all aspire to that, that the opposite of that would have to be exist also. And, you know, so someone who is not aspiring for goodness, but who is reveling in their love of doing things that are bad, you know, horrible. Doing things that they know would harm other people.
Uh-huh.
They don't care about it.
Uh-huh.
That's like the opposite, you know.
It's the opposite. To me, that the picture that comes to my mind as you're describing that is the person in usually very dark clothing with showing tattoos on their face. Who knows? You know, it's my, in my mind. And they're dragging a key alongside, well, let's pick maybe a Corvette. How about a Corvette?
Yeah.
They're dragging their key from nose to stern as they don't even look at the car. They just want to hear what, as the key goes across, two bumps for the door, and then go on to the next bar.
Well, I, you know, I was, when I was in my teens, I was, you know, I sold some marijuana for a while.
Okay.
And some guys, you know, I talked to these guys down at the beach. They said they wanted to buy some, and they got in my car. And this guy had this look in his eyes, like he was wanted to fuck with me.
Huh.
And he was really enjoying it.
Mm.
And that scared the crap out of me, because I'd never experienced and haven't since. Mm. But I know that feeling of when somebody went through something dangerous about a person.
Wow. Yes.
And so there's definitely people to stay away from.
Yes. Well, you know, in the clinical psychology, they have this very careful definition of a psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
And the key thing is that one of the key things is that they don't care about consequences.
Right.
They're willing to act without any regard whatsoever for the consequences. Mm-hmm. I just want to do this now. I want to mess with you.
Right. They don't have conscience the way most people do. They don't have regret.
Yeah.
Awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't have that.
And they just feel, well, I want to steal something today. That, you know, they just go do it. They don't think anything of that, like as being, like they shouldn't do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's, but that's, you know, psychology. That's, you know.
So the evil?
So when you talk about evil, no, I don't think it's evil.
They want to do it. They want the destruction. They want to just take.
For whatever reason. So, you know, so for them, they're doing something that, you know, they're following their true nature, you know.
They're following their true nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for them, that's, you know, they're good, you know, that's good to them.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Now, is that bad?
Yeah, it's a good question.
So are you saying they were born that way?
Yeah, however they get that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, the reality is consciousness is a form of awareness. And if there's no awareness or... consciousness,
all there is an awareness is of I want and I'm going to take.
Right.
But the other piece, the balancing awareness that we have, we all want too. But we don't, you know, most of us.
So, you know, so we're being taught here to be aware when our ego is when our ego is dictating the terms.
Uh-huh.
But there's people who their ego dictates the terms, and they dig it.
And they don't have an awareness of there being another way.
Right.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
But they have a choice.
They don't even know they have a choice.
Yeah. So does that make them evil, or does that make them unaware?
You know, it's like that, what's that movie, American Psycho?
Oh, somebody told me about that.
Yeah, where he, you know, he just starts killing. He's a stockbroker.
Uh-huh.
And he's totally consumed with how he looks, that, you know, all the women are beautiful that are with him. He doesn't care about them.
Mm-hmm.
They're only objects to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's really concerned with what he bought.
Is this 50 Shades of Grey?
No. Oh. American Psycho.
Oh, okay.
And then he ends up, you know, going and killing a bunch of people at the end. And, you know, it's all just this lust for...
Yeah.
Following this lust that he has for things and doing what he feels like.
The deadly sins.
Yeah.
One of the deadly sins.
I understand that the frontal cortex were this skill called executive function.
Uh-huh.
It's not there in serial killers.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So that's the part that makes these evaluations.
Uh-huh.
I know if I take this action, I'm going to have these consequences.
Uh-huh.
It's totally not there
uh-huh.
for these these psychopaths. So
mm-hmm.
it's not like they know and they made a choice.
Uh-huh.
It says that their ability to make that executive decision.
Yes.
Most of us.
Yes.
It's not fair.
So you can't fix it.
No.
They are as they are.
it's part of the chaos.
Yeah. So we're gonna if we're gonna call that evil, we're gonna have to go back to the factory and find out who made that one. Without the prefrontal cortex functioning. Because there's the one we got a problem with. This guy's running around throwing axes and stuff, and he doesn't even know that an axe would hurt anybody. He didn't care. They're not his. We really don't talk to them.
So nobody in jail should be in jail. We should find the person that made them.
Let's find that they're innocent.
What were you thinking?
Everybody wants to be loving, unless they're missing the... Yeah. Well, what's evil?
Shake your finger up.
Everyone said... You know, a lot, but evil is, I was afraid to think about that, because evil is, it's a judgment I project, and I wouldn't know what evil is unless I could define it for myself. And it's a fear that it's in me, you know, whatever I see, whatever I call evil, I wouldn't know that. How do I know that?
Yeah.
How do I know that? And I've been on lesson 95 for 2 weeks.
All right.
And the last two sentences. You are one self with me, united with our Creator in this self. I honor you because of what I am and what He is, who loves us both as one. Evil scares me because it's like I know what it is, or I think I know what it is, and I don't want to look at it.
Well, you came to the right class. So what would evil be? Is it a power? Is it a being? Is it a oversight by God? Is it a...
It's something unthinkable.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That's...
Is it you could do or be evil?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess. Part of me. Some part of me.
And those last sentences you just read there. If you're one with God and one with Jesus...
Well, there's one self.
There's one self we share.
And everyone I see is a reflection of that. Everyone I see is a fragment. And what I see is an interpretation of whatever goes through my death.
So is it possible that God, you know, whatever God is, this one self, it includes evil, and people can get stuck circling in evil? If there's one self and we share it with God, mm-hmm. are you saying that in your mind you're allowing that since there's evil things in the world and you're capable of it, so God must be too?
God's kingdom is not.
Well, that's your dream. What about Walt? Okay. But I mean, this is very personal. This is very personal.
Yeah.
You know, nobody can speak for Walt. You know why?
That's true.
Nobody can speak for you either. Or me. Because each of us is an individual expression of that. You are that. But you're not this. You're absolutely, everybody is absolutely equal to everybody else and Jesus. But you are different. You are equal, but you're not the same. Turns out, that's a very interesting proof. Excuse me, Pam, if I fall right on top of you. Somebody, don't put it on YouTube. All right.
Let there be light.
So Walt is touching, perhaps, on a quintessential, very, very, very important, very important, we can't get more important, soul-searching challenge with those last two sentences and with today's topic. It's a reconciliation that has to occur. It requires, if you believe that there is goodness, if you believe that God is love, and that the self you share with God is, well, it's love. And this is a question that has to be taken into meditation and find out what you believe. That's why each time we do these meditations is a chance for you to surrender all your optimism and all your learned it in school in the book and just get honest. Where are you? Because this is how you could unearth the things you trip over at night in the middle of the hallway. Let's go look for it. Let's go look for, why do you get sad? Why do you get angry? Why do you have worthless feelings that pop up? Why? That's because there's a little thing in the dark hallway that you don't look at, and you just go walking right down the hallway on the face. And you say, well, I couldn't do anything different. Here I'm on my face. Yes?
Autobiography in five steps. Autobiography in five steps, right?
What's that?
That's that one, you're walking, it's like a poem, and it's five sentences. It's like, I'm walking down the street, I fall in a hole, I can't get out, I'm stuck. And then, the next line is, I walk down the street, I see the hole, I fall in, I'll remember next time, kind of thing. And then the third one is, you walk down the street, I see the hole, I walk around it, or something like that. And then it goes on and on. But ultimately, it's, I take a different road or something like that.
I don't take the step in the descent to mm-hmm. the hole. Mm-hmm. This is a quintessential challenge that's so personal, Walt. And thank you for bringing it up. It's so... The only way you can overcome these type of obstacles is utter, absolute honesty. And I'll tell you, it can get ugly. It leads to the dark night of the soul. Mm-hmm. There is no passage... You cannot cross the gap without being in the gap. Because of where you are and what you are and what your true self has done, so that you can actually experience separation, so that you can actually know something. I said know something with your heart and soul. That's not true.
Sometimes even though, and that's kind of like where Walt was kind of going, there's an awareness even, and you still do it. Like, it still happens. Like, evil still happens.
Yeah, the hole is still there.
The hole is still there.
And your body will fit in it.
Yeah.
And you fall in. And Walt's saying, I don't want to fall in. If I think about this, if I get honest like Andrew's asking me to, and really surrender into what is evil, I'm not sure I want to touch that stuff.
I've had problems with two of my neighbors for months, and I was in a pit myself, just thinking, constantly thinking about them. And this one lesson got me out of it.
Power in those words.
Just those last few sentences.
Yeah.
I had to stop hurting myself. I could no longer punish myself. I had to just let them go.
It was too expensive.
Way too expensive. Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's basic physics. It's the same thing between, worrying and attack and ruminating and banging your head against the wall. You're going to continue to hurt until you stop.
I was playing this movie constantly. I wasn't even aware I was breathing. I was never present. I was always, at this movie.
And look how far out of the present moment for these fantastic things running through your mind. What? You should be in Hollywood with that imagination. The whole idea of a movie is to have an emotional response from the audience. And it wore him out. He was so good at directing this hatred and how wrong they are and how this could be corrected that, you know, kept him up at night and angry and, oh my God, you're pressing your own buttons. But that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is like a power. It's like contamination. It's like taking a drug. You take the drug, you get the drug's effects. So, you know, get out of the bar. Don't even go in the bar if you got a problem with that drug. Alcohol, if that's what it is. You don't go in there. Don't imagine yourself sitting at the stool and taking one last sip. But you see, that's because there is a belief in you that it has power over you. And this must be addressed. The Course has got your back. You keep this book close to you. You will not find yourself drowning as you were surfaced by that lesson. It's not the only place. It will bring you right out of hell. Mm-hmm. Many places up. What?
Don't we all have our own version of that?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, yeah.
Personal, private hell. Indeed. Absolutely. However, as long as we leave power out there that can come get us, you will never enter into heaven. And I hate to say that, but that's my responsibility here. This doesn't bring me any joy at all. But it's true. You can't enter heaven when there is a power that opposes heaven. Even if you say, well, I'm just not going there. You can't see because of where that power actually resides. You can't go through a door leaving your foot outside and say that you're inside. Well, I'm going to just go in, except my foot here has got this thought of evil. And I'm going to try to close the door now and be all in heaven, but the leg is in the way. You're either all in or you're all... Thank you. And that's the beauty of that lesson. That's the beauty of those... The beauty and the power of those last two sentences that I know you drank from. And you relaxed yourself for a moment and allowed yourself to afford that you would share the self. Did you believe for a moment those words? And that you breathe spiritual air for a moment. Thank you for being so clear on that and giving that to us. And please take it with you and go full honesty and full confidence in your guide. There's no mistake you have this book. Not you. No mistake. And that lesson spoke to you right to your face, holding your shoulders. And it will say it again and again if you so need. Yeah. You can afford that. Good. Good. Donna. What does it take for evil?
Well, what does it take for evil?
Yeah, what's evil? How do you know something's evil?
I felt pretty resistant. I didn't really want to go down what I thought. Then I thought of a slippery slope.
Right.
A slippery slope. And then the first thought I had was the first part of the slope is doubt. Mm-hmm. And then duplicity.
Aha. Uh-huh.
This tendency to start splitting off, and there's something else.
Yes.
You're kind of talking about this. There's something
else
that's starting to operate. I'm not whole.
Absolutely. Very good.
So, and then I suddenly thought it's Jesus out there in the desert being tempted.
Yes.
And so I thought, you know, this slippery slope, and that, you know, I'm capable of. I mean, I had to deal with this.
Yes.
That this duplicity, you know, makes you, when you start splitting off that way from the one,
yes,
then it makes you vulnerable.
Aha.
To this idea that you can be the big one. You know, you're going to gain, you're the whole. It's almost like you're the whole. I don't know.
Yeah.
Another way to say it.
Yeah.
But you're gaining for this one self that's you.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if I could assign complete either way to think, because people are bringing up about intentionality. I don't know how to completely wrestle with that idea, but as soon as you start splitting off...
Splitting off!
Yeah.
And then it has a life of its own.
And it has a life of its own.
Have its own set of rules. And they don't. It doesn't know that it has an option because it's what it believes in. This duplicitous, this separated off thought system. And then it continues to work without a prefrontal cortex. That's just good. Get rid of that. For the duplicitous goal. The separate goal. The destructive goal. Love not welcome here. Love not needed here. Yeah. Slippery slope. If that exists, it has power. Uh-oh. Don't worry, I got a couple great passages to get you out of that hole. But let's not fool ourselves that there isn't destruction and there aren't thoughts that can actually just run our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That they have a life of their own and they start to feel good. What?
And then you enjoy with others. I mean, that's the real attraction. Well, it's the real terror of ego is in joining with others. That's like where you really see the power of it all.
So you get enabled.
It's enabled and it becomes a whole other.
And then there's a little bit of pride starts to develop within that duplicitous side.
Right.
There's pride of proper, complete destruction. Better destruction than the next guy. Who should be leading the destruction? Well, it should be that guy. He's really destructive.
It's like the Salem witch trials, right?
Yeah, it feeds on itself.
So all the people thought they were doing good when they were actually doing the opposite. But they all convinced each other they were doing something right and true.
Yes.
And they, you know, that community fed on it.
So they could be safe.
That's what's happening in the world today.
So they could be safe.
Yeah.
You better kill those witches.
Right. Yeah.
Of course the witch will say she's not a witch. Of course. Duh. What are you even asking her for?
Yeah.
Oh, you fell for that? We got to kill her right away. It's the ones that don't know. Those are the ones you save. Okay? What? Chris, what's evil? Does evil exist? What does that word mean?
Well, you know, when I was meditating, I thought about the lynchings, you know, Jews going to the gas chamber. Way back in my, you know, the Vietnam War, all those things that I felt so viscerally, I felt viscerally about what happened, so it made me go back further to when I was a child and would cry because a field was being mowed over. What about all those gophers? And then I went further back to being abused and taking on that sense that there must be something really bad about me to experience that. And so I collude by hating myself for having something so dark that would have caused that.
Mm-hmm.
And I find this has been hard to look at. But I recognize through this course what it is to have compassion for the perpetrator so that I could find compassion for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very personal thing.
Yes.
And it's, I don't have both feet in the room, of course, but that's what I work on through this because it's really hard for me to have anything to do with movies about gratuitous violence or anything like that because it's still in my body.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a cycle that keeps feeding itself, and thank you very much for that personal touch because this is leverage that you have for your own saving.
Yes, that's right. This is
it's what you can challenge. You can take that mm-hmm. and those challenges, and you say, "Well, what about this, Jesus? What about this lesson 155? Mm-hmm. Let's see you handle this one." And this is a gift to you. But you take that. You don't hide these things from yourself, and you actually take them and challenge the book with these things. This is your way out. This, the problems, the methods that were used to separate you off and make you feel either self-hatred or victimhood or smallness, these are now the key. If you choose. You don't need to be the key, but it's kind of a shortcut. Because
and
if you could solve...
we've
what?
Been there, right? We get to go there, but then we fall back into
yes.
And then we... I mean, you just keep building those muscles.
Yes. See, what's going to happen is... The typical way before Course in Miracles was you might ask, why did this happen? Why did this horrible thing happen? But after Course in Miracles, when you start to learn about the illusory aspect of this world, and you can just taste a little bit of that, then you'll understand that, well, nothing I see means anything. I actually give everything I see all meaning has for me. I don't understand anything actually as it is now. My mind's full of past thoughts. My mind's preoccupied with past thoughts. I can't see it. They're meaningless, actually. And they're showing me a meaningless world that engenders fear. Once you start touching on the... Just touch them. You don't have to own it completely. But like Walt, in those last two sentences, he was in a good space. And that opened up light for him. Okay? This scenario you have, which has such direct leverage on your... experience in, of you, mm-hmm. your being, now becomes the key, if you wish, the key to undo an ancient hatred, the ugliest possible call for love you've experienced in this life. Wouldn't it be handy to be able to go right to the bottom, the worst, and have Jesus there with you and say, let me show you how this looks. Let me show you what's really happening. So, in this book it says, the loveliest place on earth is where an ancient hatred like that becomes a present love. Did you just, Andrew, did you try to say this horrible thing that happened to me in my life, that I'm going to find love there? That's exactly what I'm saying. And it will be an internal discovery. But it will come through the filter on page one, which says, nothing real can be threatened, Chris, and nothing unreal exists. Right, Michaeline? Let's reconcile that over the next 1,300 pages. And a huge gift comes out of that. The power of your... seeing that love is all there is this biggest gift that you shall get. It's the biggest miracle there is. When you've got this ultimate, unbelievable evil, and you find out what powers the evil, what was seen, saw as evil, unwinds the whole volume. Yeah, good, good. Lorraine, what takes something to be evil?
You know, this line popped out at me was... this is in the From Darkness to Light in chapter 11. Mm-hmm. First paragraph, number 7. Conflict is the root of all evil. For being blind, it does not see who it attacks. And so what that says to me is, like, if you think about roots,
yes.
and this is conflict,
uh-huh.
we all have evil in our lives, because the minute we have conflict really big,
mm-hmm.
or a neighbor, or a broken fingernail.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Marianne Williamson says that it doesn't matter if it's a broken fingernail or a nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
You
ruin your whole
day or something,
yeah.
right? So if we and then it also says God is very quiet, for there is no conflict in Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, Walt, I agree with you. I think you said. Or so, maybe some people say, I don't even want to think about it. Because I think the longer we're with the Course, we want to we want to keep putting on the blinders to conflict and go with the flow and be accepting and, you know, keep conflict out. Because as soon as there's conflict, now there's a disagreement, now there's all the many zillions of forms, now there's a gun, you know, big, small, whatever. That's where it's down here in the root, the conflict, and now up here comes evil out of that.
Yes, because the conflict eats the diversity has, so the split has happened, bifurcation has happened.
Yeah.
And there's now two opposing powers. So it'll be conflict. Separation is the essence of this book.
Seeing other as it.
Other as having power. Yes, Julie.
I just, I was having an aha moment that I'm not so much avoiding it in that direct time that you asked the question, but I do try to avoid the news. Like, if I feel like something is too heavy. So I wondered, like, I guess I'm avoiding it in a different way. It's like I don't, like you said, but I don't want to see it because I don't want it to push a button, and you're saying we have to face it. So what would that look like? What would that look like in...
How do you live? How do you live through that?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that you have to study the problem, that you have to study evil. You have to study the news. This is not what we're saying. Mm-hmm. What you have to do is you have to get in touch.
Like, what? Was that chicken?
Yes.
The dog causing conflict in your life?
It is.
I'm not saying that you have to become the master of the news. However,
I know.
You cannot run. You cannot run.
Or hide.
Or hide from the severity that Walt is talking to us about. All of us know. Denial has this terrible quality of believing in what it is it's avoiding. It must exist. That's why I'm denying it. You know,
right?
So there's
say that again.
Denial has a horrible truth to it. You can only deny something you believe exists.
So denial is resistance, and what you resist persists.
Yes.
It's like you're making it real. Yeah.
Yes.
Support bad behavior, and you're kind of supporting it by doing that.
And because you are refusing to acknowledge your own belief, then you will continue to run from this thing.
But I don't want to see science alarmed.
Right.
I don't either. I never have.
I would.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that denial?
Yeah. No, you see, like I said, you don't have to go study the news. You don't have to go find the website that actually has the raw footage of the beheading.
Yeah.
There's out there now. They're on the internet. But this is... No. What you have to do is get very close to Walt, to what he said. He's already given us... Thank you. He's already given us the honest gift. You go back and listen to this and listen to how he described. You listen to how he admitted... He says, I was afraid to look at it. If your heart doesn't drop into that and say, neither do I, I'm with you, brother, let's run. I don't think you listened. I don't think you're being honest. Right? But I'm telling you, we're here, page one, to remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. We will not be taught what love is. As the Course says, it says, that's the last thing I could teach you, since you yourself are love. In your being. He said it would be some fantasy, a facsimile, another cartoon I'd have to draw to show you. But then you would not know you if you thought it was in a cartoon out there.
Right.
This is why love can't be taught. You actually are love. You are God's love. Another way to say this, maybe this helps.
You are God's music, and He uses all sorts of instruments to play you. It's, you're invisible. This, you're not the violin, but what comes out of the violin. You're not the stroke of the crossbow. You are all that goes into the crossbow vibrating under the intention to make a certain melody, and it's sweet, and it's beautiful, and it's alive. That is the music. It's not the instrument, and not the people playing it. It's not the space in which it was heard. This is you. This is what true love is. We can't show you a picture of that.
You can see it, though. I mean, I'm sorry. I went to see the full eclipse, and something about that moon going in front of the sun and the spray of light took away all concepts. Mm-hmm. And it was the original essence of, we are all that light. It just, you could feel it.
Got to you, huh?
Yeah. A lot of people around me were crying.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. A lot going on there. So what is evil?
It's the tree of conflict.
Ha!
Or the sprout.
Yeah, the sprout.
It might be a very tall, thick, long, grudging redwood sequoia that's
conflict.
Hundreds of years old.
Yeah, the living, breathing conflict.
Through generations, or it might be a little sprout.
It's awesome. Conflict. Yeah. Pam, what's evil? What does it take for them to be evil?
It's so hard to encapsulate, I guess, but I was thinking about, as the people were talking, like you have heaven, or a concept of heaven, and the Holy Spirit is kind of the energy that flows from with this, and then if you think of hell, there's an evil, but that's the counterpoint, it's like there's heaven and the Holy Spirit, and there's hell and evil. It's kind of the vibe that goes with the theme.
Yeah.
And then another course person one time referred to evil as e-veil.
Mm-hmm.
It's that veil of you're not really seeing what really is.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear all that, and yet at the same time I think if none of this is, like, everybody's evils, there's a definite theme about loss of life here.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like, that's the worst thing
ever. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
That's the worst. People killing people is the worst thing ever.
It's all fun and games until that happens.
Yeah, I mean, there's this theme, like, there's, that's evil, like, and it's like, maybe it's not. Those people driving the truck, man, they are living their passion. They're doing what they feel is absolutely right.
You do rip the weeds out of your garden, right?
Sure.
How many can I get in one shot?
Yeah, or like killing cockroaches, whatever,
Uh-huh.
We think we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And every time we have meat from a factory farm, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's not millions and millions and millions and millions of beings suffering today. Mm-hmm. It's all right. Everybody else is. Again, it's like what you were saying about Marianne Williams. If there's no degree in difficulty of any of it, then what's the difference? You know, it's like, look at the who is it? The Janes that won't kill a worm,
Right.
That all life is sacred. And so if that's the theme, but if all of this is really an illusion, I'm not saying I have any big symbol crash here. I don't know if loss of life is the worst possible evil ever at all. If this is not, I mean, aren't we all sort of stoked to move on?
Like, but isn't there an idea that loss of life too soon?
I don't know. Like, if tomorrow's my last day, or today is not the worst.
Anybody want to join Pam tonight? She's going out.
Are we so terrified to go home?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
One last trip down Highway 1? Is that what we're talking about?
You know? I mean, 17!
17.
Yeah,
17 will do it?
Yeah, 17.
Alright, big booty curve. In a convertible?
Yeah. He's got a convertible. Across 17.
For the cross set year.
Really, really bad plans. I mean, for anything.
All right.
So I don't know what it is.
It's good.
Know.
It's good. Everybody turn to page 48 in the text. 48 in the text. Let's take a look. Let's take, we got some time to take a peek at a few places. It really would be a weekend seven to unravel all of that wonderful,
yeah,
wonderful exposure we got
so when
going.
So are we
going
to have our next?
Well, I can only promise in December for the moment.
December?
Yeah. Every December we get together. Do we have your email? Yeah. Everybody has? You have your email on my list?
I don't know.
We get together at a special intensive with food.
Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll give you an email list. Page 48. And look at paragraph 7. Pam, you'll read that?
I'm sure. Are we really?
Well, I'm taking you back to the beginning of the
very,
book.
Very beginning. Okay.
I'm just going to have you read
I
a little quote.
Is that where?
And we're not starting over. We're not starting the book over. Wait, I don't want to lose the crowd.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
You
know, sorry.
You have a pen? You need a pen?
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, give this to her for her email address.
Okay, 7. I have spoken of different symptoms, and at that level, there is almost endless variation. There is, however, only one cause for all of them, the authority problem. This is the root of all evil. Every symptom the ego makes involves a contradiction in terms, because the mind is split between the ego and the Holy Spirit, so that whatever the ego makes is incomplete and contradictory.
Incomplete and contradictory. I hope you're thinking about Walt's two sentences here. Whatever the ego makes is incomplete and contradictory. I hope you're thinking about the tree of evil here, with the roots separating off and in conflict, fighting for resources now, so naturally in conflict, and so incomplete that they need to take rather than receive.
What about a sociopath who's complete?
Yes.
There's a,
he's missing the prefrontal cortex, and that's not a problem because it's perfect that way.
Yeah.
His plan's complete without that worrying about what might happen.
Yeah. So that's not, that person isn't in conflict.
Right? Right?
There's a truck driver.
Right.
No, but our perception of him is definitely conflicting.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Our perception is definitely conflicting.
Between ours and that person?
No, between our perception and what we perceive and what is real.
This is why I asked Walt to be very, very, very personal and go into a meditation. And all of you should do this on a regular basis until you own it. And ask yourself if the source is good.
If what?
If the source, did it all, whatever is true, without even knowing what is true, that doesn't matter. Just find out if what's true is good. That's all. That needs to be very, very personally asked at your core. Look, nobody can tell you this, and there's no book that can spell it out. Nothing. This is something you have to go find out. You have to go into deep, deep silence and simplicity and honesty and bare your soul, looking for good. And you will be very, very still when the answer comes. This, by the way, is in the book. It's how you hear the Holy Spirit. You go still. You step back and say, I'm just going to listen really quiet. How quiet? Well, the book describes how quiet you have to be, because the Holy Spirit is silent. How are you supposed to hear something if it's silent? There you go. You're on the right path. It's a very personal question. You've got to go into meditation and find out if you can find.
So, Andrew.
Yes.
You know, that age-old question, if a tree falls and nobody hears it, you know, does it make a noise? Well, if there are no ears to hear it, and it's kind of like with evil, if, you know,
if somebody kills somebody in the woods and nobody else sees it and the body goes down the river and never gets found,
yes.
Is there anybody there to perceive it?
Well, it turns out that the perception of love is not a perception at all. Mm-mm. A sound is a perception. But love is a being. Course in Miracles describes in chapter 5, again in 6, it says, having and being are the same. Which is a real metaphysical twist. Okay? Having and being, it's just a hint at the metaphysics of what you really are. True love is not a perception. It is not an experience. An experience has a start and a stop. The world loves for you to be able to measure love and decide what true love is. Well, it looks and feels like this, and you know it when you have it, and you know it when you don't. The world would love you to go chasing for love. Think of all the country songs written about that.
That sounded like a country song.
Yeah. You know, and I'll tell you, I pondered around this so many times, and the words fall away so fast. And I heard this beautiful description, and I hope I don't mess it up too much, but it's something like this. What words, and somebody else knows this, please cut me off and say it right. What words fail to say, poets attempt to rhyme. What poets can't capture, science attempts to describe. What science fails to show, music will elucidate straight to the heart. And I think some of the most intelligent communication there is on this planet is music.
Mm-hmm.
I can't back that up with much more than I know it to be true for me. Mm-hmm. But it goes beyond science, beyond talking, beyond pictures. It goes right to the heart and soul. And so there's something there.
And but, it touches everyone.
It's right. It's so interesting that way, isn't it? Music.
Since I've been doing this one lesson for 2 weeks, I've been singing Up on the Roof by the Drifters.
Yeah.
Talk about music.
Yeah.
And I've been up on that roof now for 2 weeks.
Wow. Wow. Cool. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Yeah. There's so much to that. There's so much to that. The course has a section called The Forgotten Song on page 446. Mm-hmm.
And Andrew has a beautiful free meditation on this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that
I do.
Practically brings me to tears every time.
Go to the website. Go to the Course in Miracles study tools, and there's meditations, and you'll find one called The Forgotten Song.
Yeah, you have to click around like 10 places.
Oh, you got
to
click around, but you'll find a bunch of free meditations. And yeah, that one is good, isn't it?
Yes.
Very sweet.
I keep it on my phone.
SpiritualEar.org. Okay, boy, we need more time tonight. So let's read paragraph 8. Oh, yes, Laurie.
The issue of authority is really a question of authorship. When you have an authority problem, it is always because you believe you are the author of yourself and project your delusion onto others.
Whoa.
You then perceive the situation as one in which the others are literally fighting you for your authorship. This is the fundamental error of all those who believe they have usurped the power of God.
And you know you usurped the power of God, or good, if you will, if you don't feel good. In fact, you feel bad, and you think evil or bad is the power applying. You have usurped the power of God, according to this book. So, hey, you better look at that one there. Please continue.
This belief is very frightening to them,
uh-huh.
but hardly troubles God.
Oh.
He is, however, eager to undo it, not to punish his children, but only because he knows that it makes them unhappy. God's creations are given their true authorship, but you prefer to be anonymous when you choose to separate yourself from your capital A author. Being uncertain of
your... Let me read that sentence again, because it's really powerful. We don't have time to go over it. Just read it again, please.
God's creations are given their true authorship, but you prefer to be anonymous.
Just pause for a minute, so everybody can get a chance to feel what it's like to be anonymous versus connected to the source. Okay, please continue.
God's creations are given their true authorship, but you prefer to be anonymous when you choose to separate yourself from your author. Being uncertain of your true authorship, you believe that your creation was anonymous. This leaves you in a position where it sounds meaningful to believe that you created yourself. The dispute over authorship has left such uncertainty in your mind that it may even doubt whether you really exist at all.
Wow. And that's like the spiritual bankruptcy.
Yes. Yes. And that's why what we're talking about here, and that the road that I'm asking Walt to look at, it could lead you to the dark night of the soul. You can't get from one Sahia to Leia without crossing the bridge in the middle. You see, you've done such a good job with this evil, with this doubt, with this mind that's so powerful to press your own buttons. You've done such a good job. If you just avoid it, it will be waiting for you when you let your guard down. No, what you need, if your mind, you're afraid of some part of your mind, what you need is a miracle over that part of your mind. A miracle is a shift in perception. A miracle is a correction from false thinking to right thinking, like this page would lead you to. What you need is then, after you taste what you tasted with those last two sentences, oh, thank goodness, once you taste the freedom there, now what you need is to follow up that miracle. That was a miracle. Those two sentences, you share yourself with God. When you breathe that air easily that time, that was a miracle. But now this nasty thing of your mind keeps thinking backwards. Okay? Now you need forgiveness. You've got to stop the stinking thinking that shows up so quickly as if it was right. But if you put the miracle in place, you know it's not right anymore. It's just an old habit now. And now you're free to release. And you must do that work. That's the work you must do. Mark?
Yeah, so when you're talking about you have to cross the bridge.
Yep.
I think what you're talking about is like sometimes in meditation, it's like you have like something that's troubling you, something that's upsetting, and if you just sit with it and allow it to be there.
Yeah.
And at times I've done this where you actually focus all your attention on it, like how it feels, what it looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, you just like, try and put yourself in the middle of whatever that thought is or that feeling is, and yes, it disappears.
Oops. Yes, yes. Walk all the way around it, all sides, above, below, look at it.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. You bust the egos making the mysterious power behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little man with a microphone.
This is all.
You're not even 3 feet tall. Right? That's what we're talking about. You absolutely can bust the ego. That's the whole job. We're busting the ego. Another description of what A Course in Miracles is busting your ego. Very good. Very good. Okay. We got to rock one more paragraph here. Check this out.
Only those who give over all desire to reject can know that their own rejection is impossible. You have not usurp the power of God, but you have lost it.
Woo! Mm-hmm. Did you think she read that right? Mm-hmm. This is your book? It just sounds like bad news. Would you read that again?
You have not usurped the power of God, but you have lost it.
You have lost it. Well, that does kind of explain why things can suck so deeply.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Please continue.
Fortunately, to lose something does not mean it is gone.
Oh, thank God. Oh, saved.
Yeah.
There's hope.
It really means that you do not remember where it is.
It's getting better.
Its existence does not depend on your ability to identify it or even to place it. It is possible to look on reality without judgment and merely know that it is there.
It is possible to look on reality without judgment and merely know that it is there, which is what Walt did with those last sentences. He just knew for an instant this is true.
So that's truth with a capital T.
Yeah. And truth with a capital T is not something you learn. It's something that you find out is true. Very personal. From a surrender of the false. You remove the blocks to the awareness of it. That's how you know it's true, because it's so deep and so powerful and so simple and so present. It's closer to you than your own heart. This is why that's why I love it. You know it's the Holy Spirit's voice when it's very, very gently overwhelming. That's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I know, it's so good.
Yeah, we should go to 10.
It is so good. But something else I want you to see. We only have so many minutes. But you kind of got the clue, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's so good stuff. So important. But you need, since we're talking about evil, you have to go to lesson 66, paragraph 6.
Whoa.
Are you afraid to go there? Did you rip that page out of your book already?
That's convenient.
Walt, don't let him rip it out. You read it first. It's on page 111 in the workbook. It's pretty handy, isn't it? In the workbook.
Lessons?
In the lessons.
Page.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's some irony in that, too.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. Isn't that coincidental?
Lesson 66, paragraph 6.
Yeah, so would you go to workbook 111 to find it?
Should have worn your shirt, David.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
I didn't know.
That's right. Yeah, you got a teacher who says,
called me up.
333, right? I'm only half bad or half evil.
Half evil, yeah.
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 Oh. Well, lesson 66, paragraph 6. I think, Donna, you're up to read.
Mm-hmm. The first premise is that God gives you only happiness.
Would please read that twice.
The first premise is that God gives you only happiness.
It's a premise. Premise means that it's a priori. What we're about to say, what we're about to discuss here with the rest of this paragraph, means that you've accepted the premise, that the truth a priori already existing. That what God, whatever God is, gives is happiness. And this is part of that essential thing that you need to touch within your mind. The truth is not proven or learned. It's recognized, recognized. It arrives. This is why the Holy Spirit is so close to you. The truth simply arrives for having been true. Okay, so please continue.
This could be false, of course, but in order to be false, it is necessary to define God as something He is not.
Look, there it is, black and white. And we're 111, so we're like...
That was a cartwheel.
We're almost 800 pages into A Course in Miracles, and we're starting to talk frankly. Mm-hmm. Right? So if this doesn't make sense to you, don't worry, the book delivers. Please continue.
Love cannot give evil, and what is not happiness is evil. God cannot give what He does not have, and He cannot have what He is not. Unless God gives you only happiness, he must be evil. And it is this definition of him you are believing if you do not accept the first premise.
So there's your circle. There's your cycle. I'm telling you, the book, the workbook is loaded with meditations. Stir you up and make you challenge what you believe. Can I believe that? That's why, yeah, it's really, really powerful that way. Lots and lots of gifts like that. Okay, so now let us jump to okay. I think we're going to have to quit for tonight.
Okay.
But we got a really good start for next week. Because next week is we're going to hit this section called the unreality of sin. And we have teed up evil as a power pretty nicely.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
So we're looking at all this evil here, and since love is all encompassing,
yes,
opposites,
yes,
and you look at evil, all you find is love.
Yes,
evil is really love.
There you go. If that's the truth,
yep,
then that's all there is.
Thank God has a sense of humor too.
What is it that makes a horror movie? What is it that makes? What is it? What is it? What is this love thing?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Well, you've been holding this in the
past. Yeah. Can you believe it? Yeah.
It's huge. And
I'm going to go to work.
And what is...
Do something's extra special.
That's all it says. And, it, yeah, and what is real cannot be threatened.
Yes.
So something that's threatened.
Like from evil is not real.
Yeah, I used to look and think, well, this must be some horrible thing about myself I have to deal with.
Uh-huh.
And you look, there's nothing there.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Never was. That's cool. I like that part.
I like that part too. I like when the truth shows itself and you go, oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Oh, why would I think of that yesterday? I would save a whole bunch of time. Take a deep breath. And welcome your freedom. There is nothing going to deliver to you relief from the pains of your past. There is nothing that but your own thoughts. There is nothing that will deliver you from the weightiness of being unfairly treated. Nothing can remove that. Oh, except for your thoughts. There is that. There is that. Nothing is close enough to you to actually pry away that little hidden thorn that hurts so much. Nothing is, except for your personal thoughts. So as it turns out, as the Course says in a couple of places, and we're going to see it next week, I'll break it to you gently. Everything is an idea. Everything. Everything is an idea. Huh? So ideas change with your thoughts. They have no weight. Everything is an idea. And the Course says in chapter 15, it says, you may be okay with the idea that God is an idea, but you're probably not ready yet for the the big truth. You are an idea too. But you see, that's your escape. If you can really own the thought that you're an idea, see? If you can own that, how much harm comes to an idea? You know, how much does it bleed? How much does it lose? How much should it be different than it is? What should be different about that idea that can't switch with you just switching your mind? Well, I mean, if you're just an idea, I think things are a little looser maybe. Take it into meditation. It's part of the metaphysics of this book. It's the freedom. It's the escape door.
instead of the opposite, which is you are a committed being that's stuck with whatever you've got. No, you're an idea. Let's try that instead. So, you know, be free with your thoughts. Let it run. Don't worry. If it doesn't work out for you, your misery will be instantly refunded. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
So, I'm going to say,